1 Peter 1, starting at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkled by his blood, grace and peace be to yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you have had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you.
Good evening, 5 o'clock. Good to see you. Hope you've had a great weekend. So we turn to the Word. Alison is going to pray for us. Let's pray.
Almighty God, thank you for what we learned from you last week, that we can set sail through the journey and knowing you are with us through this journey forever. I pray for Keith that the words from his mouth will be your words only to help us to learn more about your Word. And whatever we learn from you tonight, that we will put that into our hearts forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I wonder if you've ever felt like you didn't belong. I experienced this briefly last year on a trip to America. I was in New York City for a few days, and it was strange because I spoke the language. I ate the food. The food wasn't really a big deal. I moved freely within the culture. I sort of blended in, really. But I didn't belong there. On the TV at night, the news was about America and Americans, not Sydneysiders and Australians. The sports stores were selling baseball and NFL, not cricket and rugby league. When I spoke to people, they were polite, but I was kind of quaint to them because of my accent. Apparently, I have an accent. I didn't belong there. It wasn't my home. Now, tonight we start a journey through the book of 1 Peter. And this is a letter written by the Apostle Peter, one of the 12 disciples who followed Jesus around in his life and who saw Jesus risen from the dead. And Peter writes to Christians a lot like you and me, people he's probably never met, but who trust in Jesus and who gather to praise him. And as Peter opens his letter, he calls those Christians, he calls us, exiles. And exiles are people who live here, but who don't belong here. And why is it that we are exiles? And how do we go about, if that is the case, how do we go about living as exiles in this world? Well, 1 Peter 1, we just heard read for us, is a jam-packed chapter. There's lots of goodies in it. As a preacher, I struggled to work out which parts of the buffet that is 1 Peter 1 that I would serve to you. But what we're going to do is look briefly at five things from this chapter that make us and shape us as exiles. So if you don't have a Bible open, it'd be great to turn one open, flick one open on your device now. We're going to be tracking through the chapter as we go, as we look at five things that make and shape us as exiles. Number one, we've been born into a different reality. We've been born into a different reality. Now, did anyone have a birthday this week? Hands up if you had a birthday this week or you have one coming up next week. There's a hand. I see that hand. Thank you very much. Which, do you mind telling me where you were born and which year you were born? Warunga? 1997. Oh, John. Is that possible? Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that in some way. No, I really do appreciate you saying that. You see, when any of us were born, we were born into a particular time and space in this world. And that time and that space shape who we are. I spoke to 8 o'clock this morning. I asked them, and the person who put up their hand was born in the 1940s in another part of Sydney. And that period of time in that part of Sydney was very different. The 40s in Sydney were very different to, say, the 40s in India or China or England. The 90s or the noughties, as some of you here were born in, are a very different time to anywhere in the 30s and 40s. Your life is shaped and bound by the reality that you're born into. But Christians have been born again. Peter tells us twice in this chapter, so we don't miss the point. Something has happened to the Christian from outside of them that's completely changed their perspective of life. They've been born into a different reality. Have a look with me at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And just in case we missed it, at the start of the letter, in verse 23, Peter says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." And of course, Peter here is just echoing what Jesus said in John chapter 3. Remember, he meets that teacher, Nicodemus, at nighttime, the teacher of the law who should have known better, and he says to Nicodemus, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. Now, it's important for us to see here that Peter's not talking about levels of Christians, as though there are your ordinary garden variety type of Christians, but then if you step it up a few levels, then there's the born again Christians. He's not saying that. He's saying that anyone who is a genuine Christian has been spiritually born into a new reality, into a new kingdom, into a new axis of time. And there is a king who is the ruler of this kingdom that we've been born into, who is above any power in this world, greater than all of the nuclear weapons we can gather together, greater than all the armies of the United States, greater than any of the armies of ISIS. And this kingdom that we've been born into lasts forever, beyond death. But you're a part of it now. You've been born into it now. You are a citizen of that kingdom right now. That kingdom is your home. And that's why we're exiles in this world. We live here, but it's not our home. We live here, but we don't belong here. We've been born into a different reality. That's observation number one. The second one is that we listen to a different voice. The second thing that makes us and shapes us as exiles is that we listen to a different voice. Now, there are all sorts of voices that speak to us into our day-to-day lives. There's the voice of family. So what expectations do you carry from your mum or your dad? Even if they're elderly, even if they've passed away, what is that voice of your parents, of who you should be and what they expected you to be with the life that was given to you? There's the voice of the workplace. Where are you going with your career? Who are you really in the workplace? There is the voice of your peers. What have you achieved compared to us? If you're at school, the voice of your peers says, do you really belong with us? Are you worthy to belong with us? Where do you fit in this pecking order? There's the voice of our age and our culture. Do you fit in the mainstream? Do your views match the views of the popular media? Do your values match the TV shows that you watch every night? All of these voices clamoring to rule our lives, to be the voice that we listen to and we follow. But Peter points out to us that it's pointless letting any of them be the final authority in our lives, because all of those voices and the people who are speaking are as fleeting as the grass that grows in the field. Look with me, verse 23. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. We belong to a different kingdom where we know that there is only one voice, there is only one channel of words that is worth making the final authority in our lives. And we know this because these words just aren't human words. They are words spoken by the Spirit of God. See what Peter says in verse 10? He says, concerning this salvation that we now as exiles have, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. He's saying all the prophets, all the Old Testament is spoken by the Spirit of God as they pointed forward to Jesus who's now come. And it continues, verse 12, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, Christians, when they spoke of the things that have now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. You see what Peter's saying? These words, this voice is the voice of God. It's the voice of the Spirit of God. That's why it alone is worth listening to, making the final authority in our lives. Are you listening to that voice? That different voice will teach us and guide us into ways that are at odds, that will ram up against the other voices that want to speak into your lives. At times, you might choose your church family over your biological family. And that can cause trouble. At times, you may not choose to do what your friends are doing. You might listen to God's voice over the voice of your peers. And that can cause grief. At times, you may listen to God's word and so not choose a course of action at school. Or not choose to do a particular thing in your workplace that everyone else is doing. And that will mark you out. Are you listening to his voice? Because what makes and shapes us as exiles is that we listen to a different voice. Thirdly, we cling to a different Savior. We cling to a different Savior. You know what? Everybody has a Savior. Whether they're a Christian or not, whether they use that language or not, every single person lives with a Savior. Let me show you. Have you ever thought everything will be all right as long as I just have whatever you filled in the blank is your functional Savior? That is the person that you are looking to, that is the thing that you are looking to save you from whatever you think is the evil in this world and to deliver you into a better life, into the good life, into the best life. Everything will be all right as long as I just have my family. But that can go wrong. And if that's what you were thinking and that goes wrong, then you're crushed. That's a Savior that turns on you. Everything will be all right as long as I just have a good job. But that can go wrong really fast, particularly in a climate like we're in right now. Everything will be all right as long as I just have my health. But wow, that can go wrong as well. Who knows when a virus will strike you? Who knows when our weak and failing bodies will be struck by something like a cancer? And then we become slaves to the medical people who will try and help us, but even in the end, there's only so much power in their hands. Everyone has a Savior. But Peter says we are exiles because we cling to a different Savior. The only Savior who can genuinely deliver us from what is really wrong with the world that we live in. See verse 17. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as exiles here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. You weren't saved with perishable stuff, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake, for our sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. Peter's saying the only Savior worth following is the one who can save you with the imperishable thing, the imperishable blood, the only blood that can pay the sacrifice that's needed for the sin that offends the God who made us, the only one who can deliver us from the death that awaits us if we don't turn to Him. Are you clinging to that Savior? Are you clinging to Jesus alone as the one who can deliver you? There's a way you can tell. There's a way you can tell if you're clinging to that different Savior. And it's in our passage. It's joy. You have joy. You see verse 8? Though you haven't seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you're receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You can tell if you're clinging to Him because there will be joy in your life. Now, don't get this wrong. Joy doesn't mean you're happy, happy, happy all the time. Okay? It's not about that. Our culture right now has an obsession with happiness. You've got to feel happy all the time. Are you feeling happy? You better feel happy. Right? That's our culture, but that's not what this is talking about. It's talking about joy. You can have joy even when you're unhappy. Because joy is that deep, deep down knowledge that no matter what, things will be okay. It's what comes when you've attached your life to the Savior who can deliver you. Now, sometimes that joy bubbles to the surface as happiness when things are going well, and that's great. But even when things are not going well, especially when they're not going well, there can be a joy when you're clinging to the Savior. We had a terrible time when our first child was born because he had a very difficult birth and things were really traumatic. We spent 2 weeks in intensive care wondering whether he would ever live because of what happened to him in the birthing process. And in the midst of those really, really dark days, Beck and I were gripped by a deep joy. Not because we were happy about what was going on, but we knew that even though this was a really dark chapter in our lives, that the Savior had us in His hands, and somehow this would all turn out to be okay. We didn't know when, but it would. Or as the songwriter says, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." We cling to a different Savior. That's what makes and shapes us as exiles. Fourthly, we're shaped by a different hope. We're shaped by a different hope. Show me your behavior, and I could show you what you hope in. Show me your behavior, and I can show you what you hope in. I see this particularly when we go to our kids' sporting games and you see parents on the sideline, particularly in the soccer matches, screaming till they're red in their face at their kids, at other teams' kids, at other kids on the team of their kid, at the coach, at the referee, screaming at everybody. You go, what is going on with that? And I think what is going on with that is that there is a hope that has shaped who they are, leading to that behavior. They hope that their child will be or will be recognized as the superstar, that their team will be recognized as the winners, and that if by some fluke another team happens to beat their team, that it's all because the referee was hopeless. Or the coach was hopeless. See, their hope is that somehow their child will be some sort of superstar or recognized as a great player, and that some of their glory will rub off on them as the parents. What are you looking forward to in the future? What sort of things would you like to happen to you? What sort of things would you like to be a part of? Well, let me ask you, those things that you just thought of, can they be taken away from you? And what will happen to you if they are? You see this all the time. If you've ever watched X Factor, has anyone watched X Factor? Or The Voice? Or any of those sort of shows, particularly those two, you will get, you know, the young diva there in her massively high heels, belting out her biggest and best track for the judges. It can be a boy or a girl at this point. And the judges will say to them, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. And then the cameras will cross to backstage with her sobbing uncontrollably because their hope has been smashed. This was all I was ever going to be, was another pop star. And now my hope has been crashed. And who can I be? Who will I be? Peter says, because we cling to a different Savior, we're shaped by a different hope. Again, verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. We have a different kind of hope, a hope that can't be crushed, a hope that can't be taken away. It's kept in heaven. And one of the places you see this different kind of hope is at funerals. Because of what I do, I've been to lots of funerals and I've seen this over and over again. I went to a funeral recently that I found really depressing. Now, funerals are usually sad, but they're not always depressing. This lady whose funeral it was had lived a long life, had lots of kids, had lots of grandkids. But as they all gathered together in one place, there was no real hope that the relationship that they'd had with this lady, with their mum, with their grandmother, had any chance of ever continuing in any way, shape, or form. All that they had known about her, all that they had enjoyed about her, was gone. There was some vague talk about maybe she's become now a star in the night sky and we could look up to her and know that she's shining down on us. But really, that's pretty hopeless. I contrast that with a funeral that I went to at college, a Christian funeral. It was a funeral for a baby who had lived less than a day. And there was terrible sadness as the tiny coffin was carried into the church. But in the midst of the grief, and there was grief, but in the midst of that, there was hope. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, so this little girl would be. And she would be fitted out with a resurrection body like Jesus had been. And there would be a time, there will be a time to get to know her, to experience her smile and her laugh. There will be a time for them to enjoy her, to be blessed by her life. In the midst of grief, there was not despair, there was solid hope. We're exiles because we're shaped by a different hope. And finally, what we see from 1 Peter 1 is we're exiles because we're powered by a different spirit. We're powered by a different spirit. And with this observation, we've kind of come back to where we started. we started by noticing that we've been born again. And being born is something that's completely out of our control. You had nothing to do with being born. It's completely someone else's, you know, thing. It involved you, but it wasn't up to you, right? And so it is with being born again. That happens from outside of us. And the outside agent who's involved with that is the Holy Spirit of God. See what Peter says as he opens up the letter? Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Chosen, born again through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Now, sanctify is just a fancy word for making us holy, making us like Jesus, making us more like the citizens of the kingdom of God that we were born into. And what that means is that God himself dwells within us who cling to this Savior. He dwells within us and gives us the power to choose to live for the kingdom, to choose to live for the King, for King Jesus. So Peter says, verse 13, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now here's where we will differ from the world around us right now. Here's where we will feel like we don't belong. Because you see, the world around us says, the culture around us right now says, you know who you are? You are the sum total of your urges. That's who you are. And so to be authentically you, you must be allowed to express those urges whenever and wherever you like. And no one should be allowed to interfere with you expressing your urges. But the voice of God says, you are not purely your urges. You cannot trust your urges because sin has entered into the world. That way of thinking is what Peter says, that was when you lived in ignorance, to say you are the sum total of your urges. He says, don't go back there. You are not purely of your urges. So you need to think before you act. You have a choice to listen to the voice of God and to be holy like the God who called you by his Spirit is holy. You have a choice to do that. But we're not left to try and do that, to live that life on our own. Because we might hear that call to be holy like God, and we go, really? Really? I know how much I've blown it trying to live for God just this week. Let alone hearing again, be holy, be like God, be pure. And if we're left on our own, that call on our lives will lead to despair. But we have the Holy Spirit of God within us to give us the power to make the choice to choose him. And so when you have the choice to either give someone a piece of your mind because you think they deserve it, or to show grace to them like Jesus showed to you, the Holy Spirit gives you the power to choose what Jesus would have done, what Jesus wants you to do. When you have the choice to click through to those websites or to flee from temptation, you are not on your own. The Holy Spirit dwells within you and gives you the power to choose to flee from temptation. We're powered by a different spirit who calls us to be holy and gives us the power to obey that call. If being a Christian makes you feel uncomfortable at the moment in the world that we live in, then there's a good chance then you have actually grasped the truth. Because the truth is, we don't really belong here. We're exiles. We're citizens of another country living here on temporary visas. We're born again into a different reality, into a new kingdom that starts now and lasts forever, that has a different king. We listen to a different voice, the voice from home, the voice of our beloved king who laid down his life for us. We cling to a different savior, the only savior who can truly save us from what is wrong in this world, which is sin and death. We are shaped by a different hope, which gives us perspective on this world and helps us to endure whatever this world throws at us while we journey home. And we're powered by a different spirit who gives us the power to live as citizens of heaven here and guarantees the pathway all the way home. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Let me pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us, that you haven't left us in darkness or in ignorance, but you've given us new birth into a living hope. Father, help us to live as citizens of heaven, living here on earth, to listen to the different voice, to cling to the only Savior, the different Savior. Thank you that you give us the power of your Spirit to choose you. Help us to choose you in all of the things that come before us this week. And may our lives bring glory to your name, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.